this service. If every heart and mind's clear, if you would, turn to the book of Job, chapter number 19. I'll read one verse there, and then if you'd flip over to Ruth, chapter number 4, we'll read, if you'll hold that, we'll read a couple of verses there in our reading tonight, and I'll try to deliver to you what the Lord's laid on our heart. And I've got about three or four messages that's weighing heavy on my mind and on my heart, and I'll just preach all of them. I think he said, just preach all of them. No, we'll just preach and go the direction the Lord will have us to. Those of you that's not preachers, that's never had to teach or anything like that, you don't know what kind of situation people's in when they're like that. If you got four or five things on your heart and mind, it's a struggle sometimes trying to decipher and trying to figure out and seek out the face of God on what He'd have you to do. But I want to follow that direction today and tonight. And some of you have heard this message. I preached it down at the nursing home. And I don't know, like Brother Toby, you can preach the same message four or five times. It'll be different every time, and most folks won't remember it anyway until you preach it. So, but that's all right. If you found your place in Job, chapter number 19, verse number 25, the Bible says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Turn over to Ruth, chapter number 4, verse number 8. It says, "Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi." You might be seated tonight. If I could, I want to preach just a little while. I want to look at the Redeemer tonight. I want to look at our kinsman Redeemer. Starting in Job here, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Now, when he's talking about this word Redeemer here, he's talking about that word Goel, or Goel, if you would, which in ciphers interprets over in the Hebrew language to a kinsman redeemer. And I want to try to show you a type of the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth here just for a little while. Now, a lot of folks know the story of Ruth, how that Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, is a very familiar story. And I love this book of Ruth. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love to read it and I love to study it and get all the types and the pictures and the shadows out of it. It's a great book. But the hero of the story is Boaz being the kinsman redeemer. Right. And I want to look here. I want to start here in chapter 1. We get the setting of the story. We find out that they're living in Bethlehem, Judah, with the house of bread down here. And the word Bethel, the beginning, means the house of God. Here it is, they're dwelling in the house of God. But a famine comes in the land, and they decide, Elimelech says, "I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pick up and we're going to move down to Moab. I heard there's plenty of bread down there. There's plenty of food down there." And so he gathered his family together and they left and went down to Moab, which is God's wash pot. It was a cesspool of sin. It was a city derived and came about by incest and sin with Lot and his daughters under drunkenness. And here it is. This city is a wicked place. And this man decided to take his family from the house of God or the house of bread down here at Bethlehem, Judah, and go down and dwell down with in the wicked cities of Moab. Let me tell you something, church. Don't ever leave the house of God to go dwell down in Moab. Amen. I know sometimes it gets dry. I know sometimes it seems like there's a famine in the land. I know sometimes it seems like it gets hard, Brother Wendell. But don't pack up your bags and leave and head down to Moab. You'll find yourself in a worse condition than what you've ever been in before. Here it is. They go down to Moab and Elimelech dies. Her husband, Naomi's husband, he died down there in Moab. And their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took them wives of the Moabitish nation. Here it is. And then they said they dwelt there about 10 years. And then they too died also. Here it is. Naomi went down, had her whole family. Everything everything was looking good. And they went down and dwelt in Moab. Left the house of God. Left the presence of God. And she lost everything that she had. And that's the way it'll always be. You ever leave the house of God to return to sin, or return to the city of Moab to live in wickedness and doing things you ought not to, you'll come back like Naomi. Say, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. She came back black. She came back darkened. Sin had deformed her. They didn't even recognize her when she came back. They said, is this Naomi? Was this the one that left? And she said, don't even call me that. But they began to question amongst themselves, is this even Naomi? Sin will take a toll on you. It will damage you spiritually and physically tonight. Stay out of Moab. Don't go down to Moab. You'll lose everything that you had. Amen. I heard one man said you can lose in 5 minutes what it took you 5 years to gain. And that's exactly right. Don't go down to Moab. All the blessings and bestowments God's already giving us, if we go down and leave the house of God, we'll lose everything that we've got. Don't go down to Moab. And here it is. They took their family down. Elimelech made a decision. And Naomi, being the submissive wife she was, said, I'll go with you. She obeyed her husband and followed along. But yet, even after he died, she dwelt another 10 years, dwelling in the sin of wickedness. Surely, though, when she was sitting on the porch there, she began to talk about Bethlehem, Judah. She began to talk about her country, where she used to live. And that's the way it'll be when you get away from the house of God. Eventually, the Lord's going to come convict you, and you're going to find out that you're in the wrong place, and you'll begin to talk about how good it was down at the house of God. I remember the meetings that we used to have, and the preaching that we used to hear, and the sayings they used to have, and we'll begin to miss that city. We'll begin to miss the house of God. And that's the position she got in, and she decided, I'll get up and I'll go back to my home. She said, I'm going back to Bethlehem. She said, I'm going back to Bethlehem. Going back to the house of bread, to the house of God, amen. And she rose up and decided to leave. And her two daughters-in-law, Naomi and Orpah here, decided, well, we're going to go back with you. And so they got up and decided to travel along with her. And they began to walk back with her. And as she traveled a little distance, she said, now y'all don't come with me. Y'all return back to your land. You return to your gods. You don't want to go with me. There's no hope for you if you follow me. She said, I can't have no more sons that you can marry. Even if I were to get married tonight and were to conceive a son, would you even want to wait for him then? And so she said, there's no hope for you to follow after me. Just return to your family. You return to your people. Orpah stood up and kissed her and returned to her family. But Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law and said, entreat me not to leave thee. She began to beg that she would let her go with her. Entreat me not to leave thee or for following after thee. She said, where you're going to live, I'm going to live. Where you're going to die, I'm going to die. Your God's going to be my God. Your people's going to be my people. She decided that she was going to live a life following after Naomi. She remembered the stories, I believe, that Naomi told her sitting there on the front porch, how good it was down at the house of God. Amen. And there was a longing in Ruth to get to experience that for a little while in her life. And she said, I beg you, don't make me leave. I want to follow you. I want to live with you. I want to eat with you. I want to live. I worship your God, and I'm going to die with you. Amen. She made a decision. Yeah. I'll say tonight, you're going to have to make a decision if you're going to dwell in Moab or if you're going to go down to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. You got to make a decision tonight. Where you're going to live? Where you're going to put your tent up? Amen. Where you're going to dwell? You got to go ahead and figure that out and get settled in the place where you need to live.
Amen.
Don't leave. Nail down some stakes, amen. Well, here it is. They come back. Well, they come back, and there's no men to do business for. And in this time period, the women really couldn't buy and sell and do all this stuff for themselves. And so it come a time they had to get some food somehow. And back then, they didn't have welfare programs and different governmental aids like we do today. And they had to go out and they had to work to get the food that they wanted. And they'd have to go out and glean in the fields, what they called it. And the reapers would go through the first time and they'd get everything they could. They couldn't go through the second time. And then people that would glean, those that couldn't afford to buy food for themselves, or couldn't because there was a woman or somebody that could not do business, they would come behind the reapers and they would gather up the rest that was left behind. Well, we're covering Ruth in Sunday school, and I told them that normally the norm for this, whenever they would gather up, would maybe just be a handful of meal, a handful of wheat, whenever they got to the end of the road. There really wasn't that much left over. But here it is, that Boaz looked out and saw Ruth out in the field, and she favored to him. He liked her, and he called them together and said, "Who is this woman out here gleaning in the fields?" And they said, "That's Ruth. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law. She's gathering up food for her and Naomi." And it struck a chord in his heart, and he appreciated how much that she loved her mother-in-law to come and take care of her and stand beside her. Amen. And so as she was out there, Boaz came to her and said, "Honey, why are you out here gleaning in the fields? Whenever my handmaids come up to get a drink of water," he said, "you just come on up here and you draw out of this well and get you some water." And then he said, "Whenever they come down to sit and eat, you come and you sit down at my table and you eat my food." Amen. Thank God. And then he told the reaper something else. He said, "While they're out there, while you're out there harvesting that wheat, while you're going through there, if you're in the row that she's in, if she's behind you, you reach in that bag and pull out a handful on purpose and throw it on the ground." Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that our kinsman redeemer tonight gives us handfuls on purpose. Amen. It's not accidental. He does it on purpose. I told him that he reaches into his bags of blessings. Amen. And he pulls them out and he casts them upon his people. Amen. Sometimes, though, we look at it as a blistering. Sometimes I told him this morning, it seems like some things that God does for us, he's trying to bless us, but we don't see it as such. I told him, look at Jacob when he's wrestling with that angel over there. He didn't know who he was fighting with until come early morning. He realized, I'm fighting with the Lord. And then he said, "I'm not going to let you go until you give me my blessing." And the angel of the Lord reached down and knocked his thigh out of joint. Amen. Walked with a limp the rest of his life. He said, "Hallelujah, I got me my blessing." Sometimes we think it's a blistering, but most of the time he's just trying to bless us.
Amen.
I told him that Brother Jeff back there went through this cancer thing, and it seemed like a blistering. It seemed like a hard trial to go through. It seemed like the Lord was punishing him, but he was giving him blessings beyond compare. And now that he's gone through it, he said he'll trade nothing else for what he's been through. Amen. It's been such a blessing to get to go through it. That's the way it'll be. Thank God. I'm glad that he'll give us handfuls on purpose. This road that we're traveling down, sometimes it gets hard, and sometimes we get weary, and sometimes we get weak. But thank God, I'm glad he still reaches in and grabs a handful of blessing on purpose and gives unto his children.
Amen. Amen.
Just a note on that fashion, you don't find that down in Moab.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't living right, don't expect God to bless you. That's right. You want to get God's blessings, you got to be in the center of His will. You got to live for Him. Amen. If not, you will get a blistering that's not a blessing. Amen. Well, here it is that Naomi, Ruth returns to Naomi here, and she's got all this meal, and she's got a whole big bag full. And Naomi looks and said, "Lord, where you been going gleaning in the fields today?" She said, "How in the world did you get all this food?" And she was amazed how much she brought back. And said, "Well, I was just down here at this feller's field. Down there, some fella, he said his name was Boaz or something like that." And she said, "That's one of our near kinsmen. The Lord has smiled upon you. Amen." And she said, "You make sure that you go to that field every day to glean." And now she didn't just happen by that field, amen. That was the hand of God working everything just in order. Now some folks will say, "Well, all this just happenstance. Everything just happened to fall into place." There's no way that man could have orchestrated this to be exactly like it was. If you look and follow the lineage that this came through, bringing out the lineage of Christ, a man could not have designed this himself. It was all the hand of God. And so here it is. She brought it back. And she said, "You make sure you go down to the field of Boaz every day to glean." And as she keeps going down, Naomi says, now he's a kinsman redeemer. Or he's a kinsman. He's a near kinsman. And in this time, they had what they called a kinsman redeemer, a one that could redeem those if they had lost a loved one, in this case where we see here. And here it is that he was a near kinsman. And she said, you just keep going down there. She said, I'm going to tell you what you do. He said, you go down to the threshing floor where they're going to thresh the wheat. And you find him and said, don't say a word. Just wait till after he eats. And then let him go. He lays down. Said, mark the place where he lays. And then she said, I want you to go down and I want you to pull the covers off his feet and lay down at his feet. Amen. Thank God. And so we've seen her in the field, and now we see her in the floor. We see her at the floor, at the threshing floor, at his feet. Amen. And I'll say this to you, the best place that you can be tonight is at the Redeemer's feet. Amen. And if you find yourself in trouble, if you find yourself in heartache, you find yourself longing and a need and a desire, if you want to find it, just go down to the threshing floor and get at the Redeemer's feet tonight. Get at his feet. And here it is. Said, go down. Said, don't say a word. Just wait till he rises up. And he rose up, began to speak to her, and told her how he wanted to redeem her. Said, but there's something standing in the way. He said, there's a nearer kinsman than I. He said, and I cannot redeem you because he is a nearer kinsman. And in chapter 4, he goes to the nearer kinsman, and he tells the nearest kinsman, said, here we got Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, and Elimelech. Here they had all this land and stuff, and we need to redeem this. And now this was a very important part of the scripture here. If you did not become a kinsman redeemer like you should have, it was a shame and disgrace on your name. And they would pronounce your name all out of Israel, how sorry and low down you was. Amen. If you would not redeem that which you were supposed to. This was a duty that you were supposed to fulfill. And so he went to the man and said, here it is. Elimelech has all this land, and Naomi, we need to redeem all this. And the man said, that's no problem. I got plenty of money. I can redeem all this. That's no problem for me. He said, well, there's one more thing. Said, Ruth is left. Here it is, was the wife of Mahlon. And somebody's going to have to take unto her as a wife. And he said, now this one thing I cannot do. He said, I can't do this thing. And then Boaz said, well, if you'll allow me, I would like to assume your responsibilities. That's amen. Right. And I'm glad when the blood of bulls, calves, and heifers was not enough. I'm glad our kinsman redeemer stepped in and said, I'll fulfill everything that needs to be done. When the blood of goats and calves said, I cannot fulfill this thing. I cannot accomplish this. Our kinsman redeemer stepped in and said, well, I'll take control over this. I can redeem. Thank God, I'm glad we got a kinsman redeemer. And now we see Ruth down at the festival, amen. Down at the marriage supper, thank God. And here it is that Boaz not only paid off all their debt, not only took in Naomi and married Ruth, but took them in and married her and became a husband unto them. And they had a son named Obed, thank God, which brought about the lineage of Christ. Hallelujah, thank God. And here it is, we see her now at the marriage, amen. Man, here she thought when she came back, there's nothing for me. There's nothing in this for me. Naomi told her, said, I don't have anybody. And so when Ruth came back, she came back with a mindset that I'm coming back empty. And I know that, and I got no problem with that. But little did she know there was a kinsman redeemer waiting on the other side for her. Amen. Thank God. You think that you got it hard. You think you're coming empty. You think there's no hope for you. Thank God. I'm glad there's still a kinsman redeemer. And I'll say as Job, I know my redeemer liveth. Thank God. Did you see the redeemer? He redeemed them. He paid the debt. Thank God it was a debt that we could not pay. Now a kinsman redeemer and the law and Torah law, that was the closest relative that could help his kin. There was four ways, four fashions they could do it. We see in this fashion in Ruth how you can marry a widow of the relative and buy and pay the debt that was there. Another way is one had fallen into debt and sold land. You could go and buy the land back and sell it or give it back to them to keep the land and the property and become a kinsman redeemer in that fashion. The third way was if one had to sell themselves into slavery, You could go and buy them out of slavery and give them their freedom, or you could let them work for you to pay off the debt that they owe. The fourth way was if somebody had murdered somebody in your family, it was a kinsman redeemer's job to seek blood for blood, to seek revenge on that. But here it is. Let me tell you, all 4 points in this is a type and shadow how God is our kinsman redeemer. One fallen in the debt that had to sell land. This body is the dust of the ground, is it not? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Dust we came, dust we shall return. And this property, this land was stripped away in the Garden of Eden with the fall of sin, the fall of Adam. Somebody had to buy back this property. Somebody had to buy back the land. But who was it but our kinsman, a redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased us. Amen. The other one was to marry the widow. Thank God, I'm glad tonight we are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. The church tonight is the bride of Christ. And there's going to be a marriage supper one of these days. Thank God, the third way, slavery. We was enslaved to sin. Thank God. And God bought us off the ocean block of sin. Purchased our freedom. Amen. Through the darling Son of God. Through the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. The other one was murder. Talking about seeking blood for blood. I'm glad that His blood was spilled on Calvary's cross. Here it was. One that had done wrong. One that had sinned and murdered somebody for blood. Blood had to be payment for that sin. Thank God, I'm glad that our sin, and though old Adam was dead, it said, now you're going to die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. There's death here. And so blood has to pay the atonement. Thank God, I'm glad that He gave His life on the old rugged cross. Thank God, the old rugged cross makes the difference.
Amen.
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 But at either rate, the way the kinsman redeemer worked was to help one who was helpless.
That's right.
Amen. Thank God. Until you realize that you're helpless and hopeless and in need of a Savior, you will never know the kinsman redeemer. But when you find yourself in a place like you really are, amen, hopeless and helpless and dying without the Lord, then the kinsman redeemer can step in and help you. Now, kinsman redeemer could also redeem by force and by power, if by no other means. That's what Abraham did for Lot when he went and he declared, by force and by power, he pulled Lot out. Thank God, I'm glad that our kinsman redeemer, by force and by power, the power of His resurrection, amen, has literally pulled us out of the flames of hell, has pulled us up, thank God. We were seeking in mire, we were seeking in the clay, and we cried unto Him. He heard our cry, thank God, and lifted us up and set us on a solid rock. Thank God, I'm glad He's established our goings, put an old song in our heart, even praising our Lord. And many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Thank God, I'm glad by force and by power He took upon Himself no reputation. Thank God, He made Himself a little lower than the angels. He became like us. He dwelt in this flesh. He died, gave us life force, rose again, victorious and powerful on
Amen.
The third day.
Amen.
By power and by force they could take over. Now I want to look at Job just for a little while and I'll be done. Job said in verse number 25, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now there's a few things I noticed in this scripture. First of all, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen.
Yes,
he said, I know that my Redeemer, thank God. I wonder tonight, don't you know, I don't want to know if you know that there is a Redeemer that's living, or there was a Redeemer that lived. I want to know if you know that it's your Redeemer.
Amen.
Do you have a Redeemer
God
today? Is He your kinsman Redeemer? Has He saved you today? Can you say like Job, that I know that my Redeemer liveth?
Yes.
Then he said that He liveth. He was dead, but now He's alive and alive forevermore. He's no longer dead. He said, I know He's living. Then he said, I know He's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. Here it is, Job going through his trial, faced with many tough trials, many situations. A man that had everything going for him, everything going just right. had all the money a man could ask for, had all, and man, he had wealth, he had a lot of cattle, he had a lot of land, had a lot of big houses and things, and here it is that he had everything going for him. And he was a righteous man, a godly man.
Right.
And here it is, he had integrity, something a lot of folks are lacking in this day we're living
right.
in. But here it is, he lost everything that he had. Him and his wife lost everything they had. He fell sick, sick nigh unto death. Probably would have been better off dead. He was in so much pain. But here it is. Through all his trial, through his situations, he still declared, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Here it is. Job started asking the questions, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I faced with this? Why are you sending me through this? He did not understand. Job didn't do anything wrong. He didn't sin. He didn't sin against God, against heaven. He didn't do anything wrong. He even prayed for his children just to make sure if they had sinned that day that it would be covered. And here it is. He's a righteous man. And he started asking, I wonder why that I'm going through this. But in this verse, he changed his attitude. And I said in Sunday school, and I'll say it again, he quit asking the question why and started asking the question who.
Right.
And his answer was, my Redeemer, thank God. I'm glad that no matter what we go through, no matter what we're faced with, we have a Goel, we have a kinsman redeemer. And not only that, but we can say that he's my redeemer, thank God. And I know that he liveth, thank God. My redeemer liveth. He's not dead. Heaven's not bankrupt. I know that my redeemer liveth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Quit telling God how big your troubles are. Start telling your troubles how big God is, in other words. Quit saying, why am I going through this? And start saying, who? My kinsman redeemer. Here it is, after all these trials that Job was going through, this one verse here makes me think that God showed Job some things in his life, things that was going to happen in the future that maybe some folks really didn't get to see. Here it is, how could he declare these things unless it was so? He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. That means he was once dead, but now he's alive. So I believe God showed Job, hey, don't worry about this. Here's my darling son living a sinless life, dying on a cross. Rising again on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And so Job could say with a surety, my Goel, or my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer liveth, thank God. He was dead, but now he's alive. And then he said he shall stand at the latter day. And so he had to show Job, surely, the coming back of the Lord. Maybe not this specific time, but showing him standing at the latter day, victorious over this world.
Amen.
Saying, don't you worry about this, Job. Don't you worry about what you're going through. I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have control over this thing. A lot of times we tend to worry about stuff, and a lot of things happen. We go through a lot of stuff. A lot of folks faced with many different kind of trials. Some folks don't have real hard trials, and some folks do. Some folks have real bad ones, and some folks don't. But either way, you're going to be faced with something in your life. And I told them the story of how Charity's brother got killed in a car wreck back on July, I think it was 3rd or 4th, something like that, back a couple of years ago. This would be 2 years this July. And this is a trial that was sin in our life. And this is something that's unexplainable. And it's something that makes you question why. And that's the first thing that comes to your mind as humans. The first thing that comes to our mind is why. Why did this happen? This young man's 23 years old. His fiancée's 22. Here it is. They're in college. They're at the peak of their life. Everything's going well for them. They're trying to do right. They're trying to raise their life up right, trying to get an education and things. They're just trying to get by in this world, society, become a better person and be a productive person in society. Why would something like this happen? And those things come to mind. The first thing that comes to your mind when they tell you you got a cancer, Brother Jeff, is, why am I going through this? Why is it me? Now, it ain't your neighbor that's going through it anymore. It's you going through it. And you say, why? Why am I going through this? And it seems hard. And there's a lot of things we go through that's unexplainable. And I don't know why we go through them, and I don't know why we're faced with them. But instead of asking why, ask who. I'm glad that we have a kinsman redeemer. I'm glad that we have a redeemer, and I know my redeemer liveth. Amen. And he's got all the answers. Anything you need, He's got. He can supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Aren't you glad it's not according to our riches? It's according to His riches and glory He can supply all our needs. I wonder tonight, can you say like Job, that I know that my Redeemer liveth? Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're faced with something that's bigger than you. You don't know what to do. You want me to tell you the best place to get tonight? Go down to the threshing floor and get at the feet of the Redeemer. That's where the answers will be found tonight. You want answers for your life? You want answers for troubles? You want answers for anything, any direction? Go down to the threshing floor and get at the feet of the Redeemer. Don't ask why, but ask who. I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm glad that I have a Goel tonight. I have a kinsman Redeemer. Stand with us. Come with a song. Preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. I wonder tonight if you'd come down to the feet of the Redeemer. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Glad we have a Redeemer. Is He your Redeemer tonight? Can you say with me that I know that my Redeemer liveth? Or do you not know Him? You can come down to the threshing floor, get at His feet, and find out who the Redeemer is tonight. Not enough tonight to know about a Redeemer. He better be your Redeemer. Don't just know you need to get at His feet, but come get at His feet. Come down to the threshing floor tonight. Pull the cover back and get at His feet. Glad I have a Redeemer. Thank God. I'm glad He'll take care of His own. Is anything too hard for God? There's not a mountain high enough, not a valley low enough, or a river wide enough that He can't take us through. Trust in the Redeemer tonight. Glad I'm redeemed. He sought us. Then He bought us. He paid the price. Yes. Sure it is. Amen. Keep saying. Another one of those promises tonight. Just how our Redeemer works. Amen. Have victory tonight.